Well, now to the tug of war over foreign policy in the Trump administration. A headline in the New York Times today reads, "When Trump zigs, Tillerson zags," referring to Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. The example, Qatar. President Trump sides with Saudi Arabia, calling Qatar a funder of terrorism. Tillerson is calling on the Saudis to make more reasonable demands of the Qataris. Then there's Ukraine, where Russian troops have been backing a separatist movement in the eastern part of the country since 2014, after Russia invaded Ukraine and annexed Crimea. U.S. policy has been to condemn Russia for that. But Patrick Tucker, tech editor for Defense One, writes about a tug of war there. He joins us by Skype. And Patrick, you remind us about that friendly, closed-door meeting President Trump had in May with Russia's foreign minister and ambassador. The New York Times reports Trump expressed frustration to the Russians that his critics were so focused on Ukraine. But you write that Vice President Pence also had a White House meeting at that time with the foreign minister of Ukraine and brought him to Trump.
That same day, Mike Pence takes Pavlo Klimkin into the Oval Office for a photo op. And according to a member of the Ukrainian ministerial staff, whom I spoke to, who didn't want to be named, Pavlo Klimkin was actually able to extract a pretty significant promise from Donald Trump, where Donald Trump said that the future peace negotiation was not going to throw Ukraine under the bus.
In other words, the idea of Russia and the U.S. negotiating a peace in Syria wouldn't
Right.
impact America's stand against Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But then the president sent out a tweet seeming to equate Russia and Ukraine.
Right. He did. So this is fascinating because if you look at the readouts from the vice president's office and the president's office, it's sort of night and day. The president sent out a tweet saying that he met with the Russian foreign minister and he met with the Ukrainian foreign minister, and now it was time to make peace. It sounds sort of like a blasé and not particularly provocative statement on its face, but to a lot of people that watch this debate very closely, that sort of sounds like forgiving the Russian intrusion into Ukraine, because to allow the negotiation now to end and for there to be quote-unquote peace, that would mean that the illegal annexation of Crimea becomes the norm. And so a lot of people thought that that was a really strange tweet to send, and it didn't align with either U.S. policy, ally policy, current NATO policy, or really the way anyone in the State Department before January of 2017 thought about this issue.
Well, he used the hashtag "Let's Make Peace," which implies that it's Ukraine that has to come and sort of make peace with Russia, when in fact, as you said, you're talking about not just the invasion and annexation of Crimea, but the current battle that's going on, in which people are being slaughtered still in eastern Ukraine
right.
with Russian troops involved. Are you saying that perhaps Vice President Pence, along with others, UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, who's had completely different language about Russia and Ukraine, mm-hmm. are you saying that they are trying to maneuver President Trump into a better understanding of Ukraine?
I think that that's a conclusion that you can draw based on statements that they've made publicly. And there's only the question is, how open is he to that pressure? And he seems fairly open to it, but it looks more and more to observers like pressure that's externally applied and created through exactly these sorts of exchanges, which you can say this was probably a useful exchange to have with the foreign minister of Ukraine on that particular day. And that might have had some impact later on the ability of the Treasury Department now to renew new sanctions.
The Russian broadcaster RT is reporting that the U.S. may begin supplying weapons to Ukraine to help those forces in the east fight those Russian-backed separatists. Your sense of that happening?
It's probably pretty good. This is a really critical moment for the way the West as a unified structure talks about the future of Russian aggression. And on the one hand, you have a really strong consensus that says that the U.S., along with our allies, has to hold Russia accountable for a completely illegal invasion that they've lied about. And the position of Donald Trump himself remains something of a mystery. But there's a strong sense for people that watch this very closely that he's being pulled in the direction of siding with the Western alliance. And sometimes that pull looks like actually pulling the Ukrainian foreign minister into his office for an unscheduled meeting that results in an important promise to an important ally that's under attack.
Despite the tweet that followed.
It's not an even pull. It's a tug of war.
Patrick Tucker, tech editor for Defense One. Patrick, thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot.